Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb, and this is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Buster Olney's comfort zone is anywhere there's a baseball field. The longtime senior analyst and baseball writer for ESPN The Magazine is perfectly at home interviewing the game's biggest stars or reporting breaking news on trades and free agent signings. But the Randolph native found himself this week in an unfamiliar and far more unsettling environment when he attended the sentencing hearing for Michael Jakes, who admitted kidnapping and killing his 12-year-old niece Brooke Bennett of Braintree 6 years ago. Like every Vermonter, Buster Olney was shocked and angered over the horrific crime, but he also had more reason than most to be focused on the story, because Michael Jakes was Buster Olney's childhood friend. Buster Olney has been working on a book about the case and his connection with his friend-turned-murderer, who will now spend the rest of his life in prison with no possibility of parole. And Buster Olney joins us now to talk about this difficult story. Buster, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Sure, Mitch.
Let's just establish right away that you were friends with Michael Jakes as a child, but you were not at the hearing to support him in any way, and your relationship with him did not extend into adulthood. But what was your connection to Michael Jakes growing up as kids in Randolph?
Well, I met him when my family moved to a farm in Randolph Center when I was 9 years old, and Mike was seven, and his house was at the other end of a dirt road where we lived, about a mile and a half. And so growing up, you know, he was a kid I played Little League with. You know, I spent a lot of time up at the Jakes' house because my family didn't have a television. And so as a young baseball fan, anytime there was a big game, the 75 World Series, the Red Sox and the Reds, I'd go up and spend time with them. His dad was my Little League coach. You know, we were very close friends, really, until I went away to school when I was 15 years old.
So you went away to school, and then when was your next connection with Michael Jakes? The next time you saw him, did he seem different to you?
Well, I saw him during the summer times because I went to boarding school when I was 15, and then I went away to college in Nashville, Tennessee when I was 18. And, you know, it's sort of the normal path that friendships can take when you move to another part of the world. And, you know, when I'd come back, I'd go and see him, and we'd do all the things we always did. But when I came back when I was 20 years old, we had a conversation at that point. And from that, it was the first time I had any idea of the nature of his pedophilia.
What was that conversation? How did you get that indication that there was pedophilia going on?
Well, I can't get into the specifics of it because the book that I'm working on, but there was no question, you know, after I had the conversation with him that there's something serious going on. And the next day, I bumped into his father, and I just asked him about things that Michael had said to me the day before, and he told me what had happened, and that's when I knew that there had been this other, part of Michael that I had never seen before.
Buster, bring us back to that moment when you first heard the news story that Brooke Bennett had been killed and that Michael Jakes was a suspect in her murder. What was your thought then?
My older sister called me. She lives in Addison, and she called me the day after Mike's niece, Brooke, had gone missing. And I didn't know anything about the case. I had no details about the case, but I knew that it ultimately would go back to him because I knew from childhood what a liar he could be, and I knew his history of sexual crimes. It felt like you were just waiting for the inevitable, and then a few days later, that's when it came that he, was the person of primary interest from law officials.
How have you been gathering interviews and doing research for your book on this story? Has it been hard to get cooperation from Jake's relatives?
I've actually gotten some cooperation from a couple of his siblings. A lot of times when you read a crime book, it's someone who drops in from the outside. And in this case, I know everybody. You know, the ground where Brooke was buried is literally the property that adjoins my family's farm in a place that we played as kids. I, had known Mike for so many years. Up until now, up until the sentencing hearing, I was in a difficult place in terms of interviewing people who were involved in the case, and actually those include a couple of members of my own family, potentially witnesses for the government in the case against Mike. But now that he's been sentenced, I can go forward with those, and I'd gathered a lot of background about other elements of the story.
What was it like being at the sentencing hearing?
It was absolutely surreal. It felt at times like you couldn't feel your feet. And, Mike is 2 years younger than I am, and it's like having your little brother through the whole thing where you're just perplexed. And of course, it was heartbreaking to hear Brooke Bennett's mother and father and grandmother and sister talk about their pain. And, you know, all the people who were involved in the investigation from the U.S. Attorney's Office were there as well. And their emotion, the handshakes and hugs that they were sharing, it went just beyond like, okay, we have this case wrapped up. This was really emotional for them as well because of, you know, what it meant for them to try to do the best they could for Brooke's family.
You mentioned that when you first heard about this, you knew right away that Michael was involved in this. Brooke Bennett was not his first victim. Why do you think nothing was done to stop him? Was there an opportunity along the way for a kind of intervention by someone that could have prevented Brooke's murder?
No question about it. And that's the reason essentially why I'm writing the book, to cast some sunlight on the potential devastation of silence in cases of sexual assault. I've had people in my own family touch with this, and I've had friends and heard their stories. In the case of sexual assaults, for whatever reason, there's that instinct that people have is, don't talk about this. And that's what went on for more than 20 years in Mike Jakes' case, that there were sign after sign after sign of this enormous problem, and a lot of times it was completely ignored or washed over. And Brooke's father, Jim Bennett, asked the question as he spoke to Michael and spoke to the court, you know, how did you slip through the cracks? Well, we know with the benefit of 20/20 hindsight how that happened. The nature of sexual crimes, they're often not treated in the way that a regular assault is, and people should never forget. That's what these are. These are violent assaults and should be treated that way and not something that you shouldn't talk about.
Buster Olney grew up in Randolph Center. He's writing a book about the murder of Brooke Bennett. I want to thank you so much for speaking with us about this difficult topic.
I appreciate it, Mitch.